Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
I invite you to turn now in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses of this chapter. Joshua chapter 1, beginning and reading in verse 1. Follow along with me as I read aloud. Remind you, this is God's holy and authoritative, inspired word. From Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thus ends the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this passage together. If you're someone that likes to take notes, I will do my best to assist you in your note-taking. But before we begin our study, let's turn to our Lord in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the richness of your word. That your word is living and active, that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. These are words that make us, that are able to make us wise, to make us wise unto salvation. And these are words that can encourage us and strengthen us. And so, Lord, on this day, Lord, may we, through your words, be strong and courageous. Lord, hear our prayer. It is in Jesus' name that we ask all these things, and let us say together, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for many of us who are considered creatures of habit, we're not very comfortable with the words subject to change. For some of us, that terrifies us. Whether it's starting a new school, whether it's entering a new program, starting a new job, going through physical changes or even spiritual changes, it can be a challenge. As we look at this upcoming election, some of us may be concerned about new leadership. Subject to change. We're creatures of habit. We like the same old, same old. Don't change things. Some of us may say, as we think about change, we've never done it that way before. There's always a joke I was always told is that that was the 7 words of a dying church, is we've never done it that way before. Or as I learned in Wisconsin, we don't do new good. That was their phrase. We don't do new good. If it isn't broke, then why fix it? However, brothers and sisters in Christ, there are times where change is coming. And we need to adjust to it. Sometimes those adjustments aren't very enjoyable. But they're coming. And you see here in the book of Joshua, as Joshua begins, times are changing for the people of Israel. Remember, Moses, their servant, is dead. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses is on Mount Nebo. He's buried somewhere in the land of Moab. That first generation is gone. The second generation is coming in. And now we have a new generation of people. We have a new leader. And so here, as we read the beginning of Joshua, we find those words from the Lord himself to Joshua. Joshua is the chosen successor. And now as it transitions from the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as it transitions from the Pentateuch, now it's transitioning to the historical books, and it begins with these words in Joshua, reminding the Israelites that in the midst of their changes, God does not. God does not change. And so if we're here today and we're fretting because of either the change that's coming in politics, the change that may be coming in your life, maybe your change in your workplace, changing in school, changing in status, whatever it may be, to be reminded today that God does not change. And therefore, we're called to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in the midst of these life's changes. So this morning I want to look at this portion of scripture with 4 points in mind. So if you're someone that likes to take notes, here we go. Our first point is going to be this, is that God's presence does not change. Secondly, we're going to find that God's promises do not change. Thirdly, God's precepts do not change. And then finally, we're going to have our fourth point simply be a point of application. And as your sneak peek, it's going to be the words, be strong and courageous. And so let's look at this portion of Scripture together with these in mind. First of all, our first point, God's presence does not change. God's presence does not change. Notice that at the very beginning, Joshua, after Moses, the death of Moses, servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River and the land that I'm about to give to them. Later on, as it says in verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. God's presence does not change. Joshua is about to take the reins of leadership. Is been reminded to know that what the promises that were given to Moses and God's people as they wandered the wilderness for 40 years, those same promises are going to be for you, Joshua. The same land that's promised to the people of the wilderness wanderers, that same land that's promised is going to be for you, Joshua. And it's going to be there, and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you. There's comfort there, and there's stability there. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are times where we forget this. There are times where we forget that God is present with us. There are times where God seems so distant. God seems so far away. We forget that he's our refuge. We forget that he's our strength. We forget that he said that he's our ever-present aid. We must not forget that. God is telling Joshua and the people there that I'm going to be with you. Even though leadership may change, even though generations may change, I'm still with you. I'm still present with you. Don't forget it, Joshua. Don't forget it, Cedar OPC. God is present with us. David will write in Psalm 23 of that very familiar psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. And so no matter how dark life is, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how trying it might be, no matter what giants you're facing, no matter how fierce the opposition is, no matter what that obstacle is, no matter how great that it is, to know that God is present with us. And he's promised that. And that does not change. And so when you go and meet new people and have those new experiences and you have those new surroundings, whether it be in school or in work and family situations and friendships, whatever that may be, to know that God is with us. And that does not change. God's presence does not change. And that leads us to our second point, and that is God's promises do not change. God's promises do not change. I don't even want to think about the possibility of serving a God whose promises change. Have you ever thought about that? Imagine for a moment that we read in God's word that it's by grace you've been saved through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no man can boast. And then we find out, you know what, that really is not true. What would our God be like if his word changed? If what he tells us one thing and then says another. He tells us that he loves us and then he says, "No, I don't." A God that changes is a terrifying thought. But here God is reminding Joshua and reminding us that his promises don't change either. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said to Joshua, "The land that I promised to Moses, the land is yours." Verse 6, he says, "You will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them." Joshua, my promises do not change. So don't for a second doubt me. Don't for a second question me. Just as I've been faithful to Moses, so I will be faithful to you. Just as God was faithful to lead the people out of Egypt the first time, God is going to lead the second generation into the promised land. What a blessing it is to know that our God doesn't change and that his promises do not change. For Joshua and God's people, that second generation, it must have been a jolt of enthusiasm, a great comfort and excitement for them to hear these words, that God is going to give them exactly what he promised. It'd be like us waiting 40 years for a promise to be fulfilled. That God does not fail in his promises. Now there are times where there's always God's thoughts are not our thoughts and God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes our lives do seem to be falling apart. Sometimes we go through those changes and we're not happy about them. We're not content. We're not joyful. We're scared. We're concerned. We don't know what's going on. Please know that God's promises are sure, that they're certain. That he's promised to bless us. He's promised to keep us. He's promised never to leave us. He's promised never to forsake us. God's promises are certain. God can be trusted. That's what the Lord is telling Joshua, is you can trust me. How is that any different for us? Our God can be trusted. God's word can be trusted. God will keep his promises. Now later, in the historical books, what we're going to find out is that they're going to enter the promised land. And you know what? They're not going to drive out all the people that they were told to drive out. They're going to leave some around, and that's going to cause troubles later on. We know that later on historically that they're going to be led by some pretty bad judges. And they're going to be led by even more evil kings. And that's going to lead to exiles, and that's going to be leading to a people that disappears from the face of the earth. But yet God promises his grace. God promises his redemption for his chosen people. Isn't that what we just celebrated a week ago? Isn't that what we just were reminded of when it comes to Good Friday and Easter Sunday? That God fulfills his promises for you and for me. And so let's not doubt. Let's not question. We're going to go through seasons of change, and there are going to be times it's going to be tough. But remember that God's promises do not change. Trust in him. And that leads us to our third point this morning, and that is God's precepts do not change. God's precepts do not change. Look at me, verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Young people, the world's going to tell you a lot of different definitions of success. They're going to tell you, the world's going to tell you that you need to get a great paying job, you need to make lots of money, you need to drive fast cars, you need to marry beautiful women, you need to have the perfect body, you need to have the right clothes. That's how you're going to be successful. But that's not what God says here to Joshua. To be successful is to follow his word. To be successful is to do his word. That's just proof the Kardashians aren't that successful. God gives us his word and he calls us to live by it. That is what makes us successful. Now, it's not going to be successful in the eyes of the world. It's going to be anything but successful in their eyes. But according to God's, in God's eyes, that is what is going to be, is going to make us successful. It's by living for him, doing his word. And we don't always. We sometimes wander away like sheep. We sometimes go our own way. We'd rather do our own things. And so many times we fail to remember this important truth. You see, the world wants to tell us that, you see, this book that we have in our hand is old-fashioned, it's intolerant, it's wrong. It's old school. This is the 21st century. The world wants to tell us, you know what? It's about free thinking. It's about free speech. It's about intolerance for all things, of being accepting of all cultures, of all practices. That's not what success is. Success is following God's precepts. Following God's precepts, not to earn our salvation, but to follow God's precepts because of his salvation for us. Notice what Joshua is told here to do. in this passage, two things. First, he's told to meditate upon it, to not let it depart from our mouths, to meditate on it day and night. Now, there are things that we meditate upon. I know it. I could tell you, I'm pretty confident that every woman here who is married probably meditated on that diamond ring when you first got it. You probably know exactly how many different angles and how many different colors of the rainbow you can get from it. For some of us here, we can meditate on art, and we see a good art, an excellent art piece, and we meditate on it. I'm embarrassed to tell the story, but I went to Netherlands my freshman year in college. I came back, and Corey asked me, "So how was the Netherlands?" I said, "It was really good." I said, "We almost got in a riot. We almost got beat up with crowbars and stuff like that." And she goes, "Wow, that's pretty exciting." I said, "Yeah, I went to some Rijk Museum, some Rembrandt guy with his paintings." And Corey's mouth dropped. I didn't meditate on it. I didn't appreciate it. Some of us meditate on cars. We look at those cars and we study it and we know exactly the angles and we know that. We can see the car drive down the street and some of you I know are like this. You go, "Oh, that's a 65. No, wait, it's a 66. But how about God's word? Do we meditate on it like that? Do we meditate on to the point that we go, "You know what, I'm really struggling with this, and I know exactly the passage that I need to turn to in order for encouragement." Or that friend comes to you and says, "You know, I'm really struggling with this," and we can go take them to God's word, and we can point them to this to a passage, and we can encourage them with these words or encourage others or ourselves. Why? Because we're meditating on it. It's not leaving our mouths. It's not leaving our minds. It's not leaving our hearts. Joshua here is told, don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. Meditate on it. Of course, that leads us to our second thing that we're to do with this word. That is to be careful with it. Be careful to do everything written in it. To not look at it as old school. To not look at it as being boring. To not look at it as simply being, "You know what, this is going to make me stick out like a sore thumb in the culture that I live in. How am I going to hang out with these friends of mine if I'm going to live according to God's word?" Be careful to do it. It's one thing to think about it, it's another thing to do it. We can think about a lot of things that we're supposed to do, but it's another thing to do it. Meditate on it. Be careful to do it. Young people, that is what is going to, according to God's word, is what makes you successful. That's what's going to make you prosperous. Again, we don't do it to earn our salvation, but we do it because of the salvation earned for us through Christ. And if we love the Lord and love our Savior Jesus Christ and have and our gratitude for what he has done for us, then we're going to meditate on God's word. And we're going to be careful to do it as well. That leads to our fourth point. Our fourth point, a point of application. We're told that God's presence does not change, that God's precepts do not change, that God's promises do not change. And so what does this mean for us? Well, that's where we find these words that we find repeated for us. Be strong and courageous. And did you notice that in three times it's repeated? And three times it reminds us of these important truths that we've already looked at. Look at me in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God's promises do not change. Verse 6. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God's precepts do not change. Verse 9, be strong, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be, your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous, why? Because God's presence does not change either. To be strong, to be courageous, knowing these truths, living by these truths, believing these truths. So no matter what change we face, no matter what happens in our politics, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what changes, because God's promises do not change, because God's precepts do not change, because God's presence does not change. To be strong because God is our strength. To be strong because, as Paul will say, my power, God's power is perfected in my weakness. For when I am weak, I am strong. That God, here as he tells Joshua, is reminding him that God delivered the Israelites with his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, to show his strength. And now God says to Joshua, look, be strong and courageous, because you're about to embark on a journey for me, to trust in me, to submit to me. You see, strength doesn't always mean physical, means physical strength. Strength doesn't, to be strong doesn't mean showing some muscle or some brawn. Sometimes the strongest people are the ones who trust the most. The strongest people that you and I probably know are the ones who are willing to trust God through anything. And so God is telling us through Joshua to be strong, to trust in me, and be courageous. Joshua's about to lead the people into a promised land that's not theirs yet. Right now, there are other tribes. As Joshua hears these words from the Lord, there are other tribes that are in the land. To be courageous. And they will be courageous as the people cross the Jordan. They will be courageous as they follow God's directions and watch the walls of Jericho go tumbling down. They will show a lack of courage with Ai. Yet God will deliver them too. And they will divide and conquer, and they are told throughout to be strong and courageous. We need these words. We need these words because, you know, we will run into times of anxiety, inadequacy, in fear, in despair. And we need to meditate on these words to be strong and courageous, to not be terrified, do not be discouraged. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. We can be strong. Be confident of God's unfailing presence. Be confident in God's abiding faithfulness, in his continuous sustenance, his infinite power. To know that God's precepts do not change, that God's promises do not change. God's promises do not change. As we face those challenges and changes, joys and sorrows, delights and disappointments, we're called to be strong and courageous. He's commanded us, as he says in verse 9, be strong and courageous. No matter what we're facing, no matter what challenges, what changes are going on, Changes are coming. They're going to come. But as we face them, let us remember these words. Let us meditate on these words. Let us be careful to do these words. For our God is faithful. Our God does not change. He calls us to be strong and courageous. May that be a description of each one of us, not just today, but in the days and weeks and years to come. Be strong and courageous. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's difficult to be a follower of you in times like this. We are called weak by our world, and you challenge us to be strong. The world wants to tell us that we should go into hiding and disappear. And you tell us to be courageous. Lord, you've commanded us these things. To be strong and courageous in the face of changes and challenges. And so, Lord, I pray that we may indeed do so. For those who feel weak, strengthen us. For those who feel timid, give us courage. Lord, may we do so. May we do so not on our own strength or in our own courage, but may we do so knowing your word, knowing your spirit, knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, it is in him that we ask these things. Let us say together.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.